This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Thank you. Alrighty, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, everyone. Welcome to day number 9 of Ramadan 360 with Al Maghrib Institute. It's such a pleasure to be back with you all. This is Sister Hafsa. Once again, you're one of your hosts. I know I shocked you guys a little bit with our surprise host yesterday, Brother Ibrahim. I forgot to give you guys a heads up. Inshallah, you're going to see some of the other talent in the Maghrib world, but I hope that you enjoyed his hosting as well, and that you're going to enjoy the folks that you're going to see throughout the rest of these experiences. There's some amazing personalities that we're honored to be able to bring to you. How's everyone doing for day number 9? Great to see some familiar names here saying their salams in the chat. Let me actually change the permission so we can see your faces as well, inshallah. A reminder, as always, to please enter the session and to edit your name on Zoom with your location and your name as well. What someone taught me recently, which I hadn't implemented before, is you can just reset your Zoom, like your settings, to actually just change your name to add your location. If you're not using it for other situations, you can also do that, and it will make your life easier so you don't have to keep editing for 3 years. I've been doing it manually. And you know who you are, who taught me. I can just, you know, swap that out. Alhamdulillah. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Singapore, 5 a.m. mashallah. One of our hosts, inshallah, is going to be from the Asian Pacific region as well. Looking forward to her coming in. Laiba from Oman. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Samia from Ottawa. Ruhi, welcome back. Mashallah, you know what's so funny? Sometimes when you guys are noting down your gems, I write down the gem and the person of that's who wrote that, who's shared the gem with us in the chat. And I've seen Ruhi's name pop up a couple of times, mashallah. Sakina, welcome from Calgary. We've got Asra from Paris, Canada. We've got Ragad, of course, from Florida on my screen as well. We got Shukri, Ahmed, Arisha, Shafa, welcome to my screen. Great to see you guys back. Again, I was bummed I wasn't the one hosting when Sister Carrie was speaking, mashallah, yesterday. So many great speakers during the Quran Reflect series session. That was amazing to hear. But alhamdulillah, it was nice to be in the chat with you guys instead of focusing on the screen and actually getting to benefit from the content a little bit more as well. Jazakumullah khair, everybody. I hope that you guys have had, we're hitting the first third of Ramadan, almost being over tomorrow. Subhanallah, I don't know where the time goes. Of course, we're back with Living by the Book, our daily Ramadan programming with Al Maghrib, fourth year running, alhamdulillah. And of course, Al Maghrib itself has been around for 22 years. Our goal always being to make Islam easy and accessible and providing you with authentic knowledge in a way that you can relate to and implement in your daily life. We're thrilled to have you join us time and time and again through Ramadan 360 and all the other programs that we have happening in Ramadan to be part of that experience with us. So jazakumullah khair to those who've been consistent. Some of you, I think I've seen you every single day for the past 9 days, mashallah, and others you missed a day or two, but it's beautiful to have this community that's built up every year. And alhamdulillah, we're honored to continue that tradition with you. Now, I got a big announcement to make, but I'm gonna get to that. I know I have to go through a lot of announcements today, and we have, of course, Sheikh Ammar Shukri joining us for today's topic for Ramadan 360, which is patience. Mashallah, such amazing topics the last few days. Welcome, walaikum assalam, brother Sister Ilham. Great to have you in this session. So Sheikh Ammar is joining us. He's going to have a blockbuster topic, and there's quite a few little announcements and surprises that we have for things that are upcoming today, inshallah. Of course, with every session, we want to thank the amazing and wonderful organizations that partner with us to make this experience possible. In US, we have HHRD. Their URL is hhrd.org/Al Maghrib. In Canada, it's IslamicReliefCanada.org. And in the UK, it's forgottenwoman.org/Al Maghrib. Please make sure that you're continuously keeping them in your eyes and helping them as much as you can. It's honestly, I don't even consider it helping. I feel like this is our bare minimum duty at this point. SubhanAllah, with everything that's happening in the Ummah and the comfort and the ease, even the most struggling of us, especially those living in the Western world, we're almost like the 1% of the rest of the world. So please do make sure that you are doing consistently giving and consistently supporting. I don't want to spoil too many announcements or reminders so far. Jazakumullah khair, Sister Faslin, for the links to our amazing charity partners there in the chat. Please keep them, you know, in your du'as, and please continuously give. We also have them in the YouTube description in your bios as well. Of course, we also have Al Maghrib's Hajj program kicking off, inshallah. And I was just told literally like less than an hour ago that there is another opportunity for those of you who have missed out on booking for Hajj this year. There was some technical glitches and they opened up some seats. So if you want to, if you're still interested in going to Hajj this year, make sure you register your interest. The URL is almaghrib.org/Hajj. And there's a form that there that you can fill in. And mashallah, there's an amazing kind of support community there. Once you register your interest, if you have any questions about what to expect and how to register and all the happenings, inshallah, for Hajj, make sure that you do go to almaghrib.org/Hajj to register your interest, and they will take care of you for the rest of the process. There's only a couple of days to do this. It's kind of like a very short window that has opened up. So if this has been a dua for you, may Allah make it easy for you and facilitate accepted Hajj this year. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. But definitely hop onto that link to find out more. And we'll share that link in the chat here. But it's again, almaghrib.org/Hajj. Of course, Sheikh Ammar, you guys have seen a lot of him throughout Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, he's the head, or he's the star of our YouTube series. Mashallah, I've heard so much from him on the names of Allah. You've probably seen him throughout the Maghrib world teaching many seminars. One of his famous seminars is on His Majesty, the names of Allah. He teaches as well a mindful salah, which we launched last year. You've seen him on Faith Essentials with his series and doing amazing sessions and experiences for us throughout the year. So we're excited for him to be back with us for our second week of Ramadan 360 on today's topic. Sister Faslina has dropped the link again to the YouTube series there in the chat. Make sure that you check them out. Each session launches at 3 p.m. EST every day. And I think I've delayed long enough or put off long enough our special announcement for today. And that is that, alhamdulillah, we finally have one of our blockbuster webinars coming up, inshallah. Let me actually make sure that you guys can see me. We have our blockbuster webinars coming up this Saturday at 1 p.m. EST. So British folks, it's at 4 p.m. Sorry. It's 5 p.m. I think your time. And everybody else, you'll have it translated for yourselves, inshallah, as well. The link to it is ramadan360.org/webinar. And I love this topic. The topic is Oh, You Who Believe. It's a global Ramadan summit. It's basically about every time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the believers, oh, you who believe in the Quran, sometimes with commands, sometimes with warnings, but every time it's for our own good. So check it out, inshallah. Register your interest, RSVP, so that you get the direct link and all the information. This is what the website looks like, ramadan360.org/webinar. And all you got to do is click register now and you will get linked up. 13 of our instructors are going to be with us. They're always really motivating. They push you through with a lot of short and impactful reminders. So it's always a really hype event. I hope that you guys all register. And if you're here, there's mashallah 300 something of you here on Zoom. I know there's 100 something those on YouTube and thousands who watch in the recordings, mashallah. If you are here, make sure that you share that link, ramadan360.org/webinar. It should be in your chat already here. Just copy paste that and share that with three people in your family, your friend circle, a group that you're active in, somewhere that you're actually connected to, something that's personal to you guys. Share that there and encourage everybody else to attend as well. Watch with folks, watch with family, inshallah, so that everyone can benefit. And we look forward to it. These webinars are always, usually they give me like the kick that I need to amp up my du'as, to feel closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to push forward, especially when that dip comes in those middle 10 days of Ramadan. So perfect timing, alhamdulillah, for that as well. With that, I know we always tend to encroach on Ustazah Taymiyah's time, and I don't want to do that. Inshallah, I want to bring on Sheikh Ammar Shikri. I've already given his introduction, and I'm excited for the topic that he's covering, the topic of patience on day number 9 of Ramadan 360. Welcome back, Sheikh Ammar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. How are you doing today? Oh, Sheikh, I can't hear you. We see you nice and clean with that plant in the background. I don't know what that is, a fern. We can't hear you just yet. I think we'll just connect audio and we'll be right back with that. Who is here for Sheikh Ammar's session on the second day of Ramadan 360? Who caught it? I remember asking you guys earlier what your favorite sessions were. And one of the first, it was a tie between two sessions. Sheikh Ammar was one of them. Me. We hear you, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum. Yeah. Oh, we got you and then we lost you. Okay, we'll just let you reconnect, inshallah. Awesome sauce. We got Munir. We got Jannat. Mashallah, most of you were here. Awesome sauce. Was there anyone who wasn't here? Maybe that's what I should have asked. Is that not a fern, Solange? Don't judge me. You know me. I am not a green-thumbed person. That looked fern-like. Sorry, Sheikh. We can't hear you just yet. Shanna from South Africa. South Africa in the house. Woo, woo. Mashallah. It's a fiddle leaf fig tree. Okay, jazakumullah khair, Amina, Indiana, for correcting me. Fiddle leaf fig tree.
Still
Awesome
can't
sauce.
hear me? You can only hear
Yes, we can hear you now, Sheikh. We heard you. We heard you. Alhamdulillah.
Loud and clear. Is it good?
Loud and clear. Alhamdulillah. Alrighty, Sheikh. So we've gotten a little bit into your time, so I want to jump into your topic of patience. But before we do so, we made a big announcement, alhamdulillah, for the webinar that we have, Oh You Who Believe, kicking off this Saturday. I know you're going to be joining us for it. Are you excited?
Very excited. This is my excited face.
Is it? All right, Sheikh.
This is my ecstatic face, alhamdulillah. Yeah,
alhamdulillah.
I'm very excited, alhamdulillah. You know, Oh You Who Believe comes, if I remember correctly, some 80-something times in the Quran. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amu, then you need to give it an attentive ear, because it's either a command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding you to do, or it is a prohibition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prohibiting you from. And so either way, it is an instruction that's going to come. And what made the companions different from every other generation that came after is that they would approach the Quran like a soldier approaches a bulletin board, meaning they don't do it for international intellectual gymnastics. Rather, they don't do it because they're just curious about things. They're not debating things randomly. They are approaching the Quran as a way to live their life. They read what the Quran says, and then they go do what the Quran says. They read what the Quran says, and then they don't do what the Quran says to not do, like that. So that's going to be an exercise that we're going to be doing together, inshallah ta'ala, on Saturday. I'm looking forward to it.
Inshallah ta'ala, looking forward to it as well. I saw the instructors. I can see some of the topics, the verses that they've picked to highlight. So I'm very excited to see the lessons that they pull from them and the benefit that we all gain. Inshallah, Sheikh, let's jump into your session for today. Bismillah, it's a pleasure to have you back. Let's jump right in.
Hayyakumullah wa bayyak. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Everybody, how y'all doing? Alhamdulillah, day number something of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless. Nemo says, Nemo, I don't know if I'm pronouncing your name right, but we're assuming that it's like the fish. Obviously, once the fish movie came out, khalas, it just became about finding Nemo. Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everybody. Sundus from France. Okay. Now that I've already ruined the beginning. As-sabr. We're going to be talking about as-sabr. And as-sabr is one of those qualities that is really considered to be a foundational quality. It's one of the greatest foundational quality that a person can have after iman. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that nobody has been given any ata awsa' wala ahsan min as-sabr. Nobody has been ever given a gift that is awsa', that is more comprehensive, that is more usable, that is more accessible, that is more that a person can go back to again and again and again, like sabr. Now, tell me quickly, what does sabr mean? I need your translation of sabr, ASAP. Number one, you got patience. Patience, patience, patience. Patience, resilience. Okay, endurance, very good. As you can see, the overwhelming translation was patience, 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 patience. But sabr is not just patience. Sabr is actually a much bigger word than just patience. Sabr is resilience, like some have said. Some is perseverance. Sabr is endurance. Sabr is grit. Sabr is fortitude. All of these meanings. And the reason why that's important is because sometimes when we think of patience, we think of patience as being something that is passive, or something is happening to you, and so you have to be patient. Right? It's this almost like submissive quality. But actually, resilience, endurance, perseverance, all of these are active. And so sabr is not just about things happening to you, but sabr is resilience in going towards your goals. And that's why there are three, so Salah says there's no English term that involves all this. Absolutely. So you have to use all of them, right? All of the time. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرُهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, that the صَابِرُونَ will receive the reward without account. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will test you with a portion of fear and grief and hunger, and a loss of wealth and loss of of selves and thamarat and fruits. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, give glad tidings to the patient. So patience is this great attribute that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And Imam Ahmad says, I saw patience in over 90 places in the Quran. So patience is mentioned in over 90 places in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands either for patience, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the people of patience, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises reward for the people of sabr. Okay? And even me, I go back to saying patience, patience, but it's sabr. It's such a comprehensive meaning. There's too much that we could say about sabr. There's no way that I can cover anything in 30 minutes. But I will highlight just a few things, inshallah ta'ala. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he says that if sabr was a person, it would be a perfect person. It would be rajulan karima. If sabr were to manifest in an individual, it would be a perfect, it would be a noble person, be a perfect person. Because life is going to happen to all of us. But a person is able to endure the difficulties of life, and a person is able to ascend to the epitome and to the high qualities of life through sabr. And I'll give you an example, and then I'll come back to this statement. Okay. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that was just shared in your email, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says three things that I believe are a key to success. He says, احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, focus on what benefits you and seek the help of Allah and don't give up. These three things. Seek, focus on what benefits you is where a lot of people get lost. They don't know what benefits them. They focus on a lot of things. They do a lot of things for just because it's good. But Stephen Covey, in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, there's a line that I never forgot. He said, the enemy of the best is often the good. The enemy of the best is often the good. Meaning, a lot of times the thing that is actually distracting you from being the best version of yourselves are things that are not haram, but things that are just okay, things that are just good. And in fact, one of the snares of shaytan is that he distracts a person from al-fadil with doing al-mafdul. He distracts you from doing the best thing that you can be doing with your time with things that are just good to be doing with your time. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, focus on what benefits you. What benefits me, Ammar, is different than what benefits somebody else. And so I might find my spirituality even in Ramadan with reading the Quran. Another person may not find it in doing a lot of khatams. They might find it in feeding people. And so that person, what they should be doing is they should be feeding people in Ramadan. They should be volunteering at the masjid. Some people, that's where they find their greatest spirituality. That is where they feel closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I shouldn't judge them according to what I want to do and where I feel benefit. And they shouldn't judge me according to where they feel benefit. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, focus on what benefits you. And then he says, وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ, seek the help of Allah. And then he says, وَلَا تَعْجِزْ, don't give up. Once you've figured out what your goal is, then you have to endure. You have to continue. You have to strive. You have to persevere. You have to be resilient. And I have a challenge for you. And if you are able to find somebody, then you can come back into the Ramadan 360 group. And or you can find me the next time I do a live, inshallah ta'ala, and you can say you were wrong. I found somebody, okay? I want you to find somebody who became incredibly successful in any field of human endeavor without having endurance. That's the challenge. Find somebody who built a company. Find somebody who memorized the Quran. Find somebody who became a successful athlete. Find somebody who is able to succeed in any dream that they had, and they did not have to have sabr. You're not going to find it. You're not going to find it. Somebody's going to say, well, the British royal family. Okay, other than the British royal family, somebody else. Okay, somebody who is able to build themselves up. How about that? Somebody who is able to build themselves up to do anything. And that's why Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he says, no one has ever acquired anything of goodness, neither a prophet or anybody less than them, except through sabr. Nobody has ever been able to acquire any goodness, neither a prophet or anybody less than them, except through sabr. And that's why, you know, during COVID a couple of years ago, we had Dr. Leonard Sachs, a famous child psychologist. He's written a lot of books. He gave a lecture to our community, the entire city of Houston, the Muslim community. He gave it on Zoom. And I don't forget what he said. He said, while we were looking and studying children and seeing what is the trait that makes them successful in life later. Is it their intelligence? Is it their resources? Is it, we found that the greatest factor is the discipline that they had learned by the age of 12. The discipline, discipline is another word for sabr, by the way. The discipline that they had learned by the age of 12. For them to be able to delay gratification of playing video games so that they could study because they have work that they need to do. Or for them to delay the gratification of sleeping in so that they could get up and exercise and participate in whatever extracurricular activities they have in school. For them to develop the discipline to do what they want to do now for the purpose of a greater reward later, that was the number one quality. And you know what we call that? We call that sabr. That's sabr. Nobody has been given any quality that is greater than sabr, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. And so now, you know, I have an uncle of mine. He was a general in Sudan. And he, you know, he has stories and all sorts of things. And, you know, he actually had, he reinvented himself a number of times. You know how you have some people, mashallah, tabarakallah, they have not just one career where they excel in, but they have multiple careers that they excel in. So he was in the army and then he became in diplomacy and then he became in other things, mashallah. And every time he succeeded. And so I was recently with him a little while back, and he has his son, who's older than me, who was running marathons, and he was doing the Ironman marathon, which I think is you run a marathon, and then you swim like, I don't know how many miles, and then you ride a bicycle at the end of it for however long. I think you ride the bike first, and then you swim, and then you run. Somebody can correct me, okay? But then he told me, this man, he's got his own kids, but he does this because it's his passion. He runs the Ironman. This uncle of mine, he goes and he attends and he watches. And he went and he supported his son. And I'm like, I can understand if you're a kid, but you're going out of your way to go and support your son at that particular age. And he said to me, he said, yes. He said, you know, I don't care about the time at all. What I care about is that he completes it. And then he said to me a phrase that I just loved. He said, "Al-quwa quwatul azima, wa laysat quwatul badan." He said, "True strength is the strength of your resolve. It's your azima. It's your resolve. You know, we say ulul azmi min al-rusul." He said, "It's not the strength of your body. True strength is strength of resolve. If I can develop sabr, then I've developed one of the greatest qualities in my journey to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala and in my journey to the dunya." You see it now. Ramadan 360 starts at the beginning of the month. We all know Ramadan starts and it's hype. Everything is hype. Everybody starts. But who has the ability to last? Who has the ability to continue to seek knowledge? Who has the ability every single day to not let life distract them from the goals that they declared for themselves, that they set for themselves? You will see in a Taraweeh in the next 4 or 5 days how the attendance is going to drop from the beginning and then it's going to pick up at the end. But how do you continue to exercise sabr to continue when everybody else is dropping off, right? That is that quality that we're looking for. And so quality is three levels. Sabr is three levels. The scholars mentioned the first level and the lowest level is sabr in a calamity because you don't have the choice to change it or not. If you have a loved one who dies, you have no choice but to be patient. Your lack of patience is not going to bring them back. If a person gets sick, their lack of patience is not going to heal themselves, right? And so all you have is the choice to be patient. That's number one. The second level of sabr is they say, as-sabru anil ma'asi, is sabr refraining from sins. And that is a higher level. And so the scholars mentioned, for example, Ibn al-Qayyim, he says that the sabr of Yusuf, while he was in the house of the wife of al-Aziz, is greater than the sabr of Yusuf when he was cast into a well. He had sabr in both circumstances, but his sabr in the house of Al-Aziz, when his wife is enticing him to zina, and he has the opportunity, and he has the will, or the free will rather, to make a choice that will alter it, he has the opportunity to engage. And he chooses not to engage. That is a higher level of sabr, when you choose not to engage in sin. And then the third and the highest level is to have sabr in worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have that resilience and that endurance in worshiping Allah. You know that person who comes to Fajr and they've been coming to Fajr for 10 years? That takes sabr. Every single day they're waking up. Every single day they're making wudu. Rain, sleet, hail, snow, they're going to the masjid. That takes sabr, and that is the highest level. The highest level, because the objective is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so having the objective is not to refrain from sins. Refraining from sins are just have been made haram because they impede in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the highest level of sabr is that you have that angelic trait of continuity in worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I want to end, inshallah ta'ala, and we just started, but it's already coming to an end. Time flies when you're in Ramadan 360. Isn't that what the famous statement is? Time flies in Ramadan 360. We need this on a t-shirt at the airport. Okay, so a couple of scenarios where sabr is described in the Quran. Number one, it is when a person is being affected when harm is being done to a person, and that you repel that harm with that which is better. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ ادْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Allah says, a good deed is not equal to a sin. Repel with that which is greater. What will happen if you do that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Allah says, perhaps the one who between you and them is enmity will turn into a loving protector. Could you imagine that? That person that you felt hated you, or hated Islam, hated the Muslim community, that horrible neighbor, that whoever, eventually, it may be that they turn into a loving protector. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. But the only people who experience that transformation in the people around them are those who have patience and endurance. I want to send this message to every convert who feels saddened and grieved. They're making iftar by themselves right now. They're going to taraweeh by themselves. Their family around them is mocking them because of their Islam. Or perhaps you're not a convert, but you are a practicing Muslim. You are a light alone amongst your family. They don't practice. You're the only one. And you find them to be so antagonistic towards Islam. You know what you have to have? You have to have sabr. You have to endure. Have sabr. Perhaps they will turn into your loving protectors. You know, every single one of us, I think, who grew this beard back in the day, we have a story of how we were teased and how we were mocked. Shout out to my beard gang. Where's my beard gang? Of how we were mocked by our parents and by our aunties and our uncles and everybody in the neighborhood and at the community barbecues and all of that. They mocked us and they mocked us and they mocked us. But then you know what we did? We persevered. And we persevered, and we persevered, and we persevered, and we persevered. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah says, oh, you who believe, have sabr, and out-sabr other people. They're going to mock, they're going to laugh, they're going to do that. You just keep going. You outlast them. You'll outlast them eventually. Eventually, they're going to be okay with your hijab. Eventually, they're going to be okay with your beard. Eventually, they're going to be okay with your salah. Eventually. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. You saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how the community around him, those who hated him, they became his loving protectors. And of course, I always mention this, but every time I mention this verse, I'm reminded of the champ, Muhammad Ali rahimahullah ta'ala, because he's the one who this verse, in my lifetime, actually it's before my lifetime, but you get what I'm saying. This actually, you know, I can watch the videos, I can see it. This was a man who was hated. This was a man who was mocked. This was a man who was stripped of his title. This was a man who was belittled. This was a man who was threatened with prison. He was the most hated man in America, but he continued to meet their animosity and their anger with goodness and charm and beauty and smiles and generosity. And so eventually what happened? It transformed. And he did not die before he was the most loved man in America. And that whenever people say the champ, they mean him. And whenever people say the greatest, they mean him. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. But you have to have sabr. You have to have sabr. You know, Imam Siraj Wahaj, recently on a podcast with Sheikh Umar and I, we did a podcast with Imam Siraj Wahaj. We interviewed him. Last summer, he said, he gave us the good news that his mother had accepted Islam. Imam Siraj's mother. Imam Siraj himself is probably in his 70s. His mother is probably in her late 80s or early 90s. May Allah preserve them both. So the second thing I want you to know is sabr in da'wah. Sabr in da'wah. Do you think that the man who was giving da'wah to America was not giving da'wah to his mom? Do you think that the man who was giving da'wah all over the world was not grieved by the fact that his mom had not accepted Islam in the 70s when he was doing it, or in the 80s when he was doing it, and in the 90s when he was doing it, and in the 2000s and the 2010s and 2020s? And I give da'wah to my little brother for 2 months and I'm upset. And I'm like, subhanAllah, my brother just doesn't accept my da'wah. You have to have sabr in da'wah. You have to have sabr. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبْرُوا. The only people who will experience that are those who endure. You have to endure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَصْبِرْ. Allah commands the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have sabr like those who, أُولُو الْعَزْمِ. The prophets before you had sabr. And so a third thing, sabr in da'wah, the third thing, and then I'll end with this, because we can talk about sabr for a very long time. But sabr, having sabr in the with the Muslim community, having sabr with the Muslim community. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wasbir nafsaka ma'al ladhina yad'una rabbahum bil ghadati wal 'ashi yuriduna wajha. This is in Surah Al-Kahf. People read this every Friday. Allah commands and he says, and endure the company of those who call upon their Lord in the morning and the evening. Yuriduna wajha. They're seeking his face. Endure their company. I tell people all this all the time. Ahmed Bati says, please cite surah if you know. I did. Surah Al-Kahf. I tell people this all the time. And that is, you might not find, and we'll be honest here, you might go to the masjid and you might not find it the most welcoming masjid. You might go and sit with some Muslims. You might be on a campus somewhere, or you might be in a small town where you don't have 100 masjids that you can hop from. You've got your one masjid and that's your one masjid. You've got your community and that's your one community. That's it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, endure the company of those who call upon their Lord in the morning and the evening. Endure their company. But whenever I go to the masjid, there's so much drama. Endure that drama. Endure it. They backbite me. Endure it. Endure it. وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. Endure the company of those who call upon their Lord in the morning and the evening. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. And do not let your eyes go beyond them. You have to develop resilience. You have to develop sabr. And Allah commands it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at times, he could have been in the company of the elite of Mecca. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding him to be in the company of the have-nots, because they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might be able to walk in circles that are very, very special and very unique and very desirable. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no. Turidu zinat al-hayat al-dunya. You want the adornment of this world? No. Endure the company of the believers. Endure the company of the believers. Don't let your eyes go beyond them. Stick to their company. Stick to their company. And so the last thing, because it's not just about sticking to their company, but to endure inconvenience. To endure inconvenience. When you're interacting with your brothers and sisters, you are going to be inconvenienced a lot. Okay? You're going to be inconvenienced a lot. And we live in a time and place where people never want to be inconvenienced. We don't have patience for anything or anybody. But when you are always opting out of being in the service of people or helping people or being there for people, what you're doing is you're creating very, very shallow relationships. Very, very shallow relationships. And I want to end with this poem that I wrote, just because it's Ramadan 360 and it's a good time for poems. On the topic of inconvenience, as it relates to this issue of patience and sabr. And it goes like this. People don't want to get married anymore. People don't invite each other over anymore. When was the last time you invited someone over to your house? There's a level of intimacy and vulnerability and inconvenience. That's it. And marriage is full of inconvenience, and relationships are full of inconvenience, and deep friendships where people are committed to each other and carry each other's burdens and meet the terrors of life together are inconvenient. It's just easier to swipe left or to share than to care. It's easier to just skim on the surface of everyone's existence, never to be inconvenienced. But the cost of that superficiality, The cost of that superficiality is depth and meaning and love. And those things are paid by a lifetime of inconvenience and sacrifices. And those that opt out of payment will get loneliness for free. And those that opt out of payment will get loneliness for free. And there's plenty of that to go around. When I exert sabr in teaching, when I exert sabr in being in the company of people, even when it's not convenient for me, what I'm doing is that I'm putting myself in a position to have relationships that are deeper with people, connect with people in a more meaningful way. And over a lifetime, it'll make my life more meaningful, my relationships more valuable. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Cool?
Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh Ammar. Subhanallah, powerful session. What I can't forget is you shouting out the beard gang and looking at a sea of sisters. Mashallah. But really, really great reminders. I know typically we have some time for questions for folks about the topic of the talk. So today's talk is patience. While people are formulating their questions, inshallah. Okay, actually I received several already in my DMs. You guys, please, if you're creating your questions, please send them to me directly, inshallah, in direct messages, because the chat is so quick, I will get lost with it. But while people are sending those over, Sheikh.
So there's just one quick thing real quick.
Yes.
There is, I was debating whether to share this as, you know, there's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sabur. Mm-hmm. Allah is sabur. He has that attribute of sabr. Even though it's not a name of Allah. Debated about whether it's a name, but I haven't come across an authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that is being a name of Allah. But the Prophet ﷺ, he says, "Ma ahad asbar ala adhan sami'ahu min Allah," that there is no one who has more sabr with harm that he has heard than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yadda'una lahu al-walad, they claim for him a child, and then he continues to give them afiyah, he continues to give them health, and he continues to give them rizq, he continues to provide for them. So look at the sabr of Allah. They're ascribing a child to Allah. They're committing shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he continues to give them health and he continues to give them wealth. And so this is a beautiful attribute for us to adorn in ourselves. Even when I receive that which is bad from people, that I continue to show goodness to them. And before I forget, on the topics of the names of Allah, alhamdulillah, who here, give me a thumbs up if you've been able to watch the YouTube series that we have so far. Nemo says, me, alhamdulillah. So great. I'm alhamdulillah very happy with the production of this, and you know we put a lot of work into it, alhamdulillah. You just binged watched it yesterday, excellent. So here, I need a favor from you guys, because we're trying to push this through the roof, not because of me, but because I love, anybody who knows me knows that I love this topic, and I want every Muslim in the world to know this topic. I want every Muslim in the world to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So do me a favor. Go on to the YouTube of Al-Maghrib. Look at this last video. Like the video, please, inshallah ta'ala. Subscribe. Sarah says, which series? It's this Names of Allah series that's on here. We're going over a different name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single day. We shot it in a beautiful masjid. So like the video, please, inshallah ta'ala. Subscribe to Al-Maghrib's channel. Share it with other people. Let other people know about this series that's going on. Inshallah ta'ala, we're trying to, S says, what masjid? It was in the DeSoto House of Peace in Dallas, Texas. DeSoto House of Peace. I would love to shout them out all day because they really, really made themselves very welcome for us. Jazakum Allah khair, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us. Cool? But don't forget, like, subscribe. Hafsa's making me sound like a YouTuber now.
I know. Comment. You forgot comment. I kept
comment.
No, and turn on your post notifications. I actually don't know how to do that.
Do not clip this later. Do not click this later on Maghrib social media team. Like, subscribe, and share. That's the most important thing, is that you share with your family members. Sarah says, ring the notification bell.
Yeah, exactly.
Notification squad. Allah knows best. All right, so what's up?
Awesome sauce. Jazakum Allah khair, Sheikh. So I got a bunch of questions here in the chat.
Did you talk about Hajj already?
We did. We plugged Hajj in the very beginning, okay. Alhamdulillah, the last opportunity that people have to benefit, inshallah, this year on maghrib.org/Hajj, inshallah. So, okay, I've lost the questions now because the chat was kind of going crazy. So let me just scroll up a little bit. The first question that I see is, I was wondering if you could advise how to have patience with people who have bad habits, such as backbiting and talking about others, even if they're from the believers.
So that type of patience comes with the patience of engaging. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Luqman, Ya bunaya aqim as-salat wa'mur bil ma'ruf wanha 'anil munkar wasbir 'ala ma asabak inna dhalika min 'azmi al-umur. He says, oh my son, command the good and forbid evil and endure, have sabr in what comes to you the other way. That is from the affairs of azm al-umur, from affairs of great commitment. Again, the same, we see this pairing of these two words again and again, sabr and azm, that you have to have resolve to have sabr, to have sabr. And so in this case, when someone is backbiting, that I have sabr, endure, in simply saying to them, you know what, we need to stop, or you need to avoid this type of a conversation. If I have the ability to change it, then I have the ability to change it, meaning that I tell the person to stop. You can be creative. Like, I know some people, for example, sisters might be a little bit sensitive with regards to, you know, one correcting the other. So I know a group of sisters who they came up with code words, for example. Whenever someone was backbiting, they would use that code word. So they would say, for example, apple. Apple, khalas, everybody knows that it's backbiting and they need to change the topic, right? So if I can, for example, have them agree, I can have my family agree before on a code word, for example, where it becomes something that's fun, I gamify it in that way. Or if I have that type of authority with that person where I just say, we shouldn't talk about that, let's change the subject. Or if I be smart and I don't have the ability to actually be so confrontational, and instead I simply try to change the subject, I divert the subject as best as I can. All of those are different ways that a person can engage. And then if a person can't do any of that, the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever sees a munkar, then let them change it with their hand. If they can't, then let them change it with their tongue. And if they can't, then let them change it with their heart. That at the very least, I don't engage in the conversation until they change to something else.
Beautiful. Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. The next question is, someone was just asking, is it possible to develop sabr if you're an impatient person or if you don't have that practice in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. You develop sabr. You develop discipline, you develop patience, you develop resilience, you do all of these types of things. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, innama al-hilmu bit-ta'allum wa innama al-hilmu bit-tahallum. And hilm is a type of sabr. He says that knowledge comes through practicing knowledge, seeking knowledge. And hilm, forbearance, that sabr of restraint when you're angry, it comes with practicing it. And so I practice having sabr. I try my best to delay gratification again and again and again, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, until I have sabr. And then, of course, there's lots of stories of sabr. And Allah subhanahu and you can be inspired by the stories of the people who came before. And so one time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man come to him, the Khuwaysir al-Tamimi, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the Prophet had distributed the spoils of war, and he said, "I'dil ya Muhammad, be just, O Muhammad. فَهَذِهِ قِسْمَةٌ مَا أُرِيدَ بِهَا وَجْهُ اللَّهِ." He said, because this distribution is a distribution through which the face of Allah is not intended, i.e. you're not being sincere. You are accusing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of not being sincere? What kind of insane accusation is that? It's kufr. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he lowers his head, so offended, so angry. And then he raises his hand. He said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on Musa. لَقَدْ أُوذِيَ بِأَكْثَرَ مِنْ هَذَا فَصَبَرٌ. Musa was harmed with more than what this man just said. And he showed patience. He showed patience. And so the idea here is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being reminded and inspired by the patience of Musa to enact patience himself, right? And so having role models in patience, all of that helps as well.
Beautiful. Sorry, got muted. Final question I can squeeze in is, how do you know when to continue sabr and when to create more distance in certain relationships?
When to have sabr and when to create distance? I mean, Allah knows best. I don't know. I don't have like a metric for a person. But generally, if you find that you have the strength to show that resilience and that you are still a positive influence and presence in that person's life, then that is something that a person can continue to engage in. But if you feel like, and the reason why is because these things are so vague and they're so up to that person. But if you feel like this person's influence on you is negative and harming you, and you consult with someone of knowledge who you respect their knowledge and their taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that they're not encouraging you, for example, to break a relationship that is sacred, I don't know if this person is talking about their parents. I don't know if they're talking about their children. I don't know if they're talking about a friend. I don't know how distant or close this relationship is. So the idea here is that a person has to consult people around them who have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have knowledge. If they need to be specialists in mental health, then let them be, but let them also have knowledge and let them have taqwa, let them know the value of these relationships. And then based on that shura, you can decide.
Beautiful. Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. That was an amazing session and an awesome Q&A. It was amazing to have you back. And we'll see you a couple more times, inshallah, in Ramadan 360, as well as in our upcoming webinar this Saturday. Reminder again, if you guys missed it earlier, that inshallah, we're having a webinar at 1 p.m. EST on O You Who Believe. So every time that verse is mentioned in the Quran or the lessons that we learned from it, 13 instructors, including Sheikh Ammar Shukri, with us then. Sheikh, before we leave, I know we've been playing this nice little video that you've created that you really well summarized the amazing work that Al-Maghrib is doing through the daily giving campaign. And this is the first time that we've been able to facilitate that from the beginning of Ramadan. So we've been sharing that. Alhamdulillah, we've got a lot of folks who've already answered the call and who have supported us through daily giving. I just want to share my screen real quick. I think we're at 600 something registrations for that so far. Can you speak to a little bit of why you think daily giving is important and why it's the easiest, one of the easiest ways that they can multiply their ajr?
What is our goal?
It's 647 is where we're at. What our goal should be, I think, should be at least 700.
So 50 people?
At least 50. I think we can do 50 people here. I just, to be honest, I think we can do 750 if we're being realistic or ambitious.
So here's the thing. I'll tell you guys.
I saw someone said 1,000 in the chat.
I'll tell you guys, I need a hashtag Team Aisha or Team Asma, okay? Team Aisha or Team Asma. Abdullah ibn Zubair, sorry, Abdullah ibn Zubair, I said sorry because I was like, man, I'm about to take 2 minutes.
Okay.
Abdullah ibn Zubair is the nephew of Aisha radiallahu anha, and he's the son of Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr. Now, Abu Bakr is obviously one of the most generous people who ever walked the face of the earth. So what do you think his daughters are going to be? Okay, his daughters are going to be the most generous people who ever walked the face of the earth. And so Abdullah ibn Zubayr, he says, I never saw anybody who was more generous than Aisha, my aunt, and Asma, my mom. And both of their generosities were different. Both of their generosities were different. As for Aisha, she never used to leave anything. She never used to leave anything. She would give it all away. And as for Asma, she used to gather what she wanted until she had a large amount, and then she would distribute it. But Aisha, whatever would come, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. So much so, you know the story where she had gotten like a trove, something was brought to her, an incredible amount of wealth. And she distributed it all. And then before iftar, and then her servant said to her, you know, we don't even have anything left for our iftar. And Aisha radiallahu anha told her, she said, if you had reminded me, I would have done it. Okay. But everybody who said Team Aisha, everybody who's Team Aisha, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us with all of them in Jannatul Na'im, I need you to make a donation to prove that you're Team Aisha. That's the trick. That is the trick. I need you to make a donation so that you join Team Aisha, okay? That is the trick. Team Aisha, it's easy to just say you're Team Aisha, okay? But I need you to jump in and be Team Aisha. But not only that, I want you to also go into your WhatsApp groups. And I'm going to be the first person to do this when I get off this call, inshallah. I'm going to join all my WhatsApp groups, my family WhatsApp groups and my friend WhatsApp groups that, you know, we sit there and talk about whatever random stuff we're always talking about. I'm going to jump in and I'm going to tell them about this daily giving, inshallah ta'ala. Because if you inspire one person to give daily, that's like you giving daily again. Then you inspire another person, right? Cool, cool. Jazakumullah khair, everybody. And we'll all celebrate, inshallah ta'ala, when we cross the finish line of 700.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh Ammar. That was Sheikh Ammar Shukri on the topic of patience for day 9 of Ramadan 360. A lot of exciting announcements and reminders around that session as well. For those who've been missing it, please keep up in the chat. We'll drop them into Telegram as well. Hopefully you guys have already signed up for the webinar.
I just want to shout out Hassan Rajab. I want to shout out Hassan Rajab because I thought he had a virtual background this whole time, but then I see that it says the Maldives. Is this really your background? Oh my goodness. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Allahumma barik wazid. I thought that was a virtual background.
Yeah, it's a virtual background, yeah.
Oh, it is a virtual background. Okay,
you're really of course, here it is now like 3 a.m.
Okay, okay, MashaAllah. But it looks, the Maldives does look like that.
Yeah,
okay. Exactly. Now, Allah bless. As you can see, I've got the beautiful background of Houston, Texas, that you can see. Yeah.
He got had by that location, subhanAllah. MashaAllah. His brother Hassan's been on screen for the entire, I think for every single session so far. This is day 9. We're counting, we're noticing, mashallah. All right, guys. Now you guys have an opportunity to take this topic of patience. I know a lot of people were DMing me and messaging me some really, you know, tough questions of the experiences, the challenges that you guys are having with patience in your daily life. Reminder, we have our Quran Reflect. Reminder, as always, please make sure that we are reflecting. You guys have been doing an amazing job. Yesterday's session was my favorite by far. So we're looking forward to a lot more of that topic, a lot more of those reflections coming through, and you guys personalizing the topics and the message with each session. I know we have Ustada Taymiya with us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Ustada Taymiya Zubair. How are you doing this fine Tuesday?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, I'm good. Really enjoyed the session, mashallah. It was really well-packed, mashallah, with a lot of gems, mashallah.
Mashallah. Sheikh Omar is
good, holistic understanding of patience, mashallah.
Exactly, exactly. And I find Sheikh Omar is half benefit, or obviously it's all benefit, and then it's an Islamic entertainment as well. So it's quite a fun gathering. Alhamdulillah, we're looking forward to continuing that with Quran Reflect. Bismillah, I'll pass it over to you. Let's jump right in.
All right, let's begin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. So today I want to begin with a story. I remember once I was at Masjid al-Nabawi and a sister came up to me and she recognized me. And it was the first time she was actually meeting me in person. But she had been one of my students from in one of the online programs in which she studied the tafsir of the entire Quran with me, alhamdulillah. And she shared with me that she was sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi, and you know how there's halaqat, people are, you know, reciting Quran to their teachers. So there was a group of sisters who were reciting Quran to a teacher. And she said she was just listening to them. And she was listening to one of the students who was reciting the ayah, وَصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكْ, and be patient for the command of your Lord. And she said the student recited it again for a second time. وَصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكْ, be patient over the command of your Lord. And she recited it again. وَصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكْ, be patient over the command of your Lord. And she said every single time I heard this ayah, I understood a different meaning. And she said this is because of, alhamdulillah, the course that she had taken with me, in which we go over the word-for-word meaning of the Quran. And this is true. Wasbir li hukmi rabbik, it looks like just three words, right? Wasbir, be patient, li hukmi, for command, rabbik, of your Lord. But it means so much more than just three words. It means be patient because of the command of your Lord. Meaning be patient because your Lord has commanded you to be patient. It means be patient over the command of your Lord. Meaning be patient in adhering to what your Lord has commanded you to do. And it also means be patient until the command of your Lord comes about. Meaning until he gives you what he has promised you. And she said this ayah really struck her at that time because she had recently lost her husband and was going through, you know, imaginable grief and a lot of pain. But she said that every single time that she heard this ayah, it was like a source of relief for her and also a source of encouragement for her that be patient because this is what your Lord has decreed. Be patient because your Lord has commanded you to be patient. And be patient until your Lord gives you what he has promised you. Alhamdulillah for the blessing of the Quran. Alhamdulillah for such beautiful teachings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in his book. And of these teachings is the instruction to be patient. Now when we look at the word sabr, sabr is from sabara, which basically means to confine or detain something or someone, all right? Any for example, if someone is jailed, someone is locked up, all right, that is what sabara. Any, they have been withheld, they have been detained. And sabr is defined as habsun nafs. It is to detain yourself, okay? Meaning you prevent yourself from reaching the point of despair. You prevent yourself from reaching the point of panic. You prevent yourself from doing what is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla. All right? You detain yourself. You hold yourself back from quitting, from losing it, from behaving in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not approve of. And sabr, as we have learned, is in the face of calamity. It is in doing what is right, right? Endure and do what is right, even if it is difficult. And it is also in staying away from what is wrong. And sabr basically is telling yourself to hold on, all right? To bear the difficulty until the storm passes. One of the Salaf, whenever he would be met by a trial, he would say, this is just a cloud that will soon fade away. Think about it. When a cloud appears in the sky, when it comes in the sky, does it stay there forever? It doesn't. Its nature is that it is going to go away, either from the heat, right, or with the wind, it's going to go. It's not going to stay there forever. So this is what patience is basically about. That sometimes things are not easy. It's not easy to pray, right? You know that it's not going to be easy to bear the consequences of, you know, speaking the truth, right? It's not easy to fast. Fasting is also a form of patience. But you know that whatever hardship you're experiencing right now is not going to last forever. So you make yourself do what is right, do what is pleasing to Allah. Why? For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to have patience. He tells us, isbiru, be patient. He tells us, sabiru, meaning urge each other to be patient. And he also tells us in another place, wastabir, that continue on in patience or exert yourself, make yourself be patient. So this shows us that sabr can be natural. And in certain times, or for certain people, it can actually be acquired. It is something that they have to consciously strive towards. And, you know, every person is different. It's possible that when it comes to certain types of challenges, you have a lot of patience. Like, for example, when it comes to fasting, it's not difficult for you, right? But when it comes to dealing with your children's tantrums or their whining, all right, then that is extremely difficult for you. Every person is different. And the thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us in so many different ways, right? In fact, he tells us that he is going to test you until he sees who is patient, right? Who are those who strive in his way and who are not, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us through different ways in order to bring out our patience. Now, we see that in the Quran, it was mentioned earlier as well. Imam Ahmad said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions patience in 90 different places in the Quran. We see that in the Quran, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to be patient in different ways and over again. Secondly, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids us from the opposite of patience. So, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that لَا تَهِنُوا لَا تَحْزَنُوا, right? Do not become weak and do not be overcome by your sadness, right? Meaning, be patient. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told لَا تَسْتَعْجِلْ لَهُمْ, do not become impatient over them. Meaning, do not impatiently demand the punishment for these people. Then we see that in the Quran, patience is described as the way of the messengers of Allah. Fasbir kama sabara ulul azmi min ar-rusul. O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be patient just as the ulul azm among the messengers were patient. Ayyub alayhi salam is described as inna wajadnahu sabira. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed we found him to be patient. Ni'ma al-abdu, what an excellent slave he was. What an excellent worshipper he was, that he was patient. And what was the patience of Ayyub alayhi salam? That he was tested for such a long time in his body, through his wealth, through his family, through the society, right? But throughout that test, he was patient. How so? That he was never upset with Allah. And he continued to worship Allah. This is what patience is. That you continue to worship Allah no matter what is happening, and you don't get upset with Allah. Being patient doesn't mean that you don't complain to Allah. Okay? Because Ayyub alayhi salam did complain to Allah. He said, "Anni masani al-durru," that, "Oh Lord, hardship has touched me." He did complain to Allah, right? We learn about Yaqub alayhi salam. He said, "Fasabrun jamil," that I am going to observe a beautiful patience. And then what did he do? Innama ashku bathi wa huzni ila Allah. Right? He complained of his grief, of his condition to who? To Allah. What is contrary to patience is to constantly complain to people. It is to complain to people. This is what is contrary to patience. That as if you are complaining to them about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for you. So in the Quran, we see that the prophets are praised for their patience. Their patience is described at length. And then we see that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us that success depends on patience. That those who are patient are the ones who are successful. And without patience, there is no success. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us about the reward of those who are patient, that their reward is double, meaning they will be rewarded in this world and they will also be rewarded in the hereafter. أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْتَوْنَ أَجْرَهُمْ مَرَّتَيْنِ بِمَا صَبَرُوا. Two times they will be rewarded in this world and also in the hereafter. And what is the reward in the hereafter? إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. They will be given their reward without any measure. And one of the scholars explained this, that the reward of patience is like water that is pouring forth. You know, for example, you go to a waterfall, you see a waterfall, and what's happening? Water is just constantly, constantly falling down, right? Endlessly, never stopping. For example, Niagara Falls, I've been there so many times, and every single time I go, I wonder, so much water is just falling, 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 nonstop. And it's been falling since the last time I came. SubhanAllah, how much water is that? Constantly falling. So the reward of sabr is like that. It is continuous. It is endless. Why? Because when a person is observing patience, it feels like the hardship is endless. Right? It feels like this difficulty is never going to end. But when a person puts their trust in Allah and they keep enduring, what happens? Within time, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed, that hardship comes to an end. And when we see the Quran, we see that sabr is mentioned with a lot of different virtues. Okay, and Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu said that the position of patience with regards to iman is like the position of the head in relation to the body. Can you imagine a body without a head? If the head is cut off, is that even a body? No, it's not. A person is not alive. There can be no life in a body without its head, right? Just like that, he said that there is no iman without sabr. This is how necessary sabr is for the believer. Now we see that in the Quran, sabr is sometimes paired with taqwa. All right. Wa in tasbiru wa tattaqu, if you're patient and you have taqwa, because you need both. You need sabr to bear the hurt, and you need taqwa, the consciousness of Allah, in order to respond properly. Right? So sometimes we think that just be patient, just bear it. Don't say anything. No. Sabr, it's not just that, you know, be quiet and don't say anything. You need sabr and you also need taqwa. Taqwa in responding properly to those who are hurting you. Sometimes we see that sabr is mentioned with tawakkul. And this is so beautiful. الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Those who are patient and on their Lord, they put their trust. What's the relationship between patience and tawakkul? The thing is that a person can only have sabr if they have tawakkul on Allah, right? Why else would you endure? Right? Why else would you bear hardship and difficulty? Because you know that you have a Lord who knows what you're going through. And He will make this difficulty come to an end. And He will reward you. So without tawakkul, sabr is impossible. Sometimes we see sabr is mentioned with jihad. ثُمَّ جَاهَدُوا وَصَبَرُوا. Why? Because jihad, striving in the way of Allah, it requires a whole lot of patience. Sometimes we see sabr is mentioned with shukr, with gratitude. Because they're basically like two sides of the same coin, right? Shukr, you are focused on Allah. You are grateful for the fact that Allah is always giving you. And sabr, why? Because you have a Lord who cares about you, who forgives you, who provides for you, who rewards you. So why would you not have patience for His sake? Then we see that sabr is mentioned with forgiveness. وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ. Whoever is patient and forgives. Because again, if you don't have patience, you can't forgive. It's mentioned with good deeds. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except for those who are patient and who do good deeds. Because if you don't have patience, you can't do good. Four times in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Allah is مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. He is with those who are patient. When a person is patient, they're not alone. They don't have to fend for themselves. They have not been abandoned. No, they have actually received the help of Allah. This is why sabr is actually aun. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. If a person is able to be patient in a situation, it means they have the help of Allah. And if they're not being patient in a situation, that means they don't have the help of Allah. Allah is with those who are patient, not with those who are impatient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that He loves, يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. There is good news, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Good news of reward, good news of relief for those who are patient. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz said that whenever Allah provides one of His servants with a blessing, and then He takes it away from him and gives him patience instead, surely the compensation is better than the blessing which has been taken away. Meaning the sabr that you observe is better than the blessing that you lost. And another thing is, the last thing I want to mention is that sabr is only with the help of Allah. It is only with the help of Allah. وَاصْبِرْ وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And when Allah gives you tawfiq, when Allah assists you. And it means that it can only be for the sake of Allah. When sabr is done right? It is done for the sake of Allah. You're patient because of Allah, because of the fact that He has commanded you to be patient, because you're looking forward to the reward that He has promised you. Only then can you continue to have patience. Only then can you endure. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Now let's hear from you. And remember, please keep your reflections short. Try to keep them within 30 seconds, because I do want to hear from everybody who raises their hand. So try to keep it to the point, brief, inshallah. Ayub.
Ayub, I see that you're unmuted, but we just can't hear you yet. Salam, can you hear us? Okay, we can't hear you just yet. If you can just sort out your mic, inshallah, and we'll jump to the next person in line in the meantime. Sister Samaya, go right ahead.
Was it for me?
We can hear you now, Samaya. Go ahead.
All right. So my question was, like you, Assalamu alaikum, first of all. Thank you for such an amazing reminder on sabr. My question was, when you said that you complain only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what you are facing, and what he has decreed upon you instead of people, could you elaborate more on that? Because
Okay, this is the
I
only
was
question
listening
I'm
to a
going to take.
podcast and sorry.
Inshallah, this is the only question I'm going to take. This is time for reflections. All right.
All right.
But since you mentioned the question, I'm going to take it. To complain to Allah is to call upon Him for help. It is to present your weakness, your desperation before Him. All right. It is not to say, "Oh Allah, why did you decree this for me?" And, "Oh Allah, this is unfair." "Oh Allah, why me?" No, this is not proper complaining to Allah. Proper complaining to Allah is to present your condition before Him in order to ask Him for help. All right. Complaining to people is to constantly be whining, constantly be like, now my head's hurting, and I had such a horrible day, and this is unfair, and this is not nice. You become a very negative person like this, and this is the opposite of patience. All right. So it's okay. It's good to complain to Allah, but not to people. This doesn't mean that you can't ever share with people what the difficulties that you're experiencing. You can, but within proper boundaries, and always for a reason. If you want their advice, you want their help, something like that. Inshallah.
All
Next reflection.
So let's try Ayub again, inshallah. Go ahead, Bismillah. Walaikum
Salam.
salam.
You can hear me?
Yep.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Tamia. It's a pleasure being able to speak to you.
Alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullah. Jazakallah
So,
khairan.
mashallah, my daughter recently started the Ta'lim al-Quran course in February, the beginning of February in Mississauga. We live in Scarborough, and I made a resolve to drive there every day for the course.
MashaAllah.
Go and sit with her as a listener, mashallah. And so we started that, and it wasn't until maybe, and I was going to join as well. After the first day, I said I was going to join as myself. So after the first week, I got into a car accident, subhanAllah. And I thought that I reacted okay. But in hindsight, sorry. My favorite ayah is, do you think that you will not be tested when people were tested before you from Ankabut? Right? So I knew that, and the one that it says you will be tested with fear and grief and hunger and all of these. So I thought that I would be from the patient people who says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Oh Allah, recompense me for my affliction and replace it for me with something that is better. Because this is something that I say for minor things a lot, like when you're leaving out the house, you say these things. So I say it a lot. But in this case where I got into the car accident, I didn't actually say this. Well, I didn't. My daughter did. But anyways, I thought I would say it. And for the couple of 2 weeks when I'm dealing with the insurance company and, the other people that you have to deal with when you get into a car accident, I didn't say these things. I didn't have the sabr that I could have had. And now that I've been listening to this Maghrib Ramadan 360 and learning more, I realized that this was a test from Allah and that I may have failed the test on the initial thing, But if I continue to be patient and hope for good from Allah, that inshallah there will be khair at the end
Inshallah.
of it.
Inshallah. And the thing is, at the moment you realize that, maybe your response was not the, with sabr, right? At the moment you realize, that is when you turn to Allah seeking His forgiveness. Don't ever, tell yourself that, oh, I failed this test, I'm such a bad person, and I missed such a, such a great opportunity. In the Quran, we learn about Dawood alayhi salam, how when he realized a mistake of his, he kharra raki'an wa anab. He fell into ruku' and he turned back to Allah. So when you realize that, oh, I was not patient, I should have been patient, then you can start being patient from that point onwards, and you seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for the mistake that you made. We're human beings, after all, right? And it's not possible for us to always, always be perfectly patient. So when you realize that you're being impatient, that is the time when you start changing your response, inshallah.
And just I want that, Alhamdulillah.
Let's give other people a chance as well, inshallah. There's six people who raised their hands, so inshallah. Next
Jazakallah
person.
khair, Ayub. Appreciate your reflection, mashallah.
Assalamualaikum.
Oh, sorry. I just got to go in order.
Assalamualaikum.
Sorry, I just got to go in order, inshallah. So the next person who's in line that we have is NS. Please raise your hand, inshallah, if you want to be added to the order of those who are reflecting. NS, go right ahead and unmute yourself. Bismillah. Someone may not be aware of what's. Oh, there we go. We hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Nadine speaking. I sometimes seem to confuse patience and forbearance. So I was thinking that maybe it would be good to have a clarification on that, the difference between patience and forbearance.
Look, they're similar. All right, because when you have patience, only then will you be calm and composed in the way that you respond, right? Or that you choose not to respond. So they are related. Next person.
Arisha, we
Remember,
could.
reflections, not questions.
Awesome sauce. And 30 seconds or less if we can manage it, inshallah. Arisha, go right ahead, Bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When you said that patience comes with tawakkul, so I related to you at that point. I have an experience like, as we are humans, we have traits like when you do something and you get reward for that thing, you then know that you're gonna do this same thing next time and you're gonna get that reward, right? So I have that experience with myself. Whatever I want in my life, whether it's a small thing or a big thing, whether it's a useful, daily useful things or anything I just really wanted to have, I just have sabr on that. Like, I have experienced a lot of times in my life, whatever I wanted, I just ask Allah that, Allah, I want this, and I just had sabr on that. So it's amazing, it's magical that within, it's not, it's timeless. Yeah, within a month or a year, on a day, I got that thing. So next time I had that tawakkul for that, like if I just want something, I will ask Allah, oh Allah, I need this. I have an eye on something. I just wanted this and I just got that. Like, I have that trait in myself, this characteristic in myself, I've just built in myself. So Jazakallah, I am very grateful for that.
This last next, we've got Farhia. Go right ahead, and Farhia.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullah.
When you talked about patience and tawakkul, I thought of, the best individual to take as an example were our prophets. They were the most patient, they were the most, individuals who have experienced everything. And then the second individual that came to my head and my mind was my mother. And the way I looked at it is our generations right now is, for example, marriage. If you look at it, people are like, hey, I give up. I can't deal with this individual. I'm done. I'm walking out of this marriage. Whereas if you look at your parents, your grandparents, no matter how much they struggled with their marriages, they stayed with it. They had tawakkul, they had patience, and they kept on asking Allah to keep them patient with the individual they were with. So I keep thinking and I keep seeing like the way our parents have been together, because whether it was for us, whether it's for themselves, it gives me an opportunity to rethink. Am I going to walk out just because of an argument, just because I'm feeling like it? Or am I going to stick around and stay and see what it comes out of it? So that patience, that tawakkul, my mother really teaches me a strong, like, you know, stay patient, stay, you know, true to who you are, ask Allah for guidance and all of that. So that was my intake on this. Thank you.
Beautiful reflection. Next, we have Sister Rahma from Nigeria. Go right ahead.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm a student of Al-Huda as well. So when I heard the verse, wasta'inu bisabri wasalah, at the time, I was having a lot of hardships. I was having anxiety and things like that. So when what I grasped from the tafsir when I heard it was just be patient, be patient, be patient. So whenever I was having panic attacks or anything like that, I would endure with patience and immediately go and pray. And alhamdulillah, when I got over that phase of my life with the anxiety, and I went to another state where my mom joined Al-Huda, and I went with her to a class, and they were doing the same verse. But at the time, my headspace was more in fixing my salah. And the tafsir, when they were talking, what I got at that time was how if I wanted to attain khushu in my salah, then I needed to seek help from Allah to be patient with my salah. So that's what resonated with me from this.
Jazakallah khairan. Barakallahu feekum.
Jazakumullah khair, Rahmat. The next person we have in line is Ayat Aziz, inshallah. Please go ahead and mute yourself.
Inshallah, let's make this the last reflection.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much for this session. I just wanted to say, so in the beginning of 2021, I wanted to move abroad for my studies, but it wasn't possible because of COVID, and I was really disheartened about the situation. And then, but my parents suggested me that I pray a lot and have sabr. So I did exactly the same thing and prayed. And within a year, I got selected for an exchange program and I got to travel abroad. So that just increased my faith and increased my iman and belief in having sabr all the time.
Jazakallah khairan. Thank you so much for sharing. All awesome. Right, inshallah, we'll conclude over here for today. Hafsa, go ahead.
Jazakumullah khair, Ustada Tamia, and all of you. We're all learning how to be as effective with this as possible. I pulled out my little stopwatch timer and was trying to time y'all as well. That's what I do, because someone else had a suggestion to practice before you share your reflection, because it's easy to get into the emotion of it and then to have a hard time to figure out how long you're taking. But jazakumullah khair, we're getting better and better. And thank you to everybody who shared today. And who didn't get a chance to share, please do raise your hand again for tomorrow for our Quran Reflect. This is the kind of a muscle that we're building and an experience that we're trying to make sure that you guys are kind of getting comfortable with as well, inshallah. So jazakumullah khair to all of you for your patience today and throughout these sessions with the fellow reflectors, alhamdulillah, and with us as well. With that said, we had a lot of announcements earlier today. Hopefully you got caught all of them. I know there's going to be a lot of links. Jazakumullah khair, Fasleen, for holding it down in the chat for the links, mashallah. So we have almaghrib.org/givedaily. I hope that you guys have got that memorized, mashallah, by now. We are now at 657 donors. So let's hit 700, inshallah. Like Sheikh Amar said, I just curated some messages for my family group chat and for my friend chats. Please do send those messages out and share in the same breath the Maghrib YouTube series for the names of Allah, inshallah, this year. If you benefited, if there's a specific name or a specific video that really struck out for you, please share that with others. And I figured out how to do the post notifications today as well. So like, subscribe, comment, post notifications, all that fun stuff to the Maghrib YouTube channel, and follow up with the series. We launch videos every single day at 3 p.m. EST. Also, I just want to give you guys a heads up. Inshallah, this Thursday, every Ramadan, we do a 10-day Quran challenge where we up our tajweed and recitation skills together, and we spend some time with the Quran with our beloved teacher, Imam Wissam Sharif. So look forward to that starting this Thursday at 1 p.m. EST. I think it'll probably be QuranRevolution.com/challenge will be the link, but we'll share that here and on Telegram as well. Register yourselves. If you're in Ramadan 360, hopefully they'll add you automatically as well, but just mark your calendar for Thursday at 1 p.m. EST for the first session for that. If you have any questions, if you're still new to this series or you're getting confused about some of the logistics and some of the links, please let us know. Send us an email or send us a message on Telegram and we'll take care of you, inshallah. It's been amazing to spend day number 9 with Sheikh Ammar, Ustada Taymiyyah, and yourselves. And we'll see you guys, inshallah. Someone's asking who's the next Kahoot. The Kahoots are on the weekends, so look out for it on the weekends, on Saturday or Sunday, inshallah. And of course, this Saturday we have the webinar, so we'll probably do this Sunday, inshallah. The links to WhatsApp, to the charity partners, everything is in there in the chat. We'll see you guys tomorrow, inshallah, for day number 10 of Ramadan 360. And tomorrow we have back with us the instructor that started off the experience, Sheikh Suleiman Hani, is going to be talking about the topic of leadership. So it's going to be an amazing session. We look forward to that. For now, take care, stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.